My hands are a little dirty.
So am I.
If you're gonna die, and you knew you were gonna die, and you could choose how, what would you choose?
There's kids in there, and I want to get them out.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Conduit Speaks. Today we're going to be just having a short episode. I'm going to talk about some of the films that I'm looking forward to in the coming year, in 2012, and a little bit about why these movies are appealing to me. Before I get into that, I just wanted to thank Calvin Reeder again for sitting in and talking about his film, The Oregonian, that is available to view on iTunes and also on Amazon.com right now. Also, another heads up about CM Down's American Maniacs, which is available to view on VOD, Video On Demand. So check your local cable provider for information about that. And other than that, I just wanted to, I know I don't talk about it a lot on the show, but I do have a children's book series coming out. And we went back and forth with a couple publishers and just trying to figure things out and through the whole bureaucratic process and realizing that more than likely we would be losing the amount of control we want to have over this series of books. We are going to be self-publishing, and very soon, and again I'll keep you posted, my children's book, illustrated by artist K. Brandon Wilt, is going to be available to purchase in both paper, hands-on, page-turning form, and also as an ebook for your Kindle and app for, you know, iPhone, Android, all those kind of things. So the book, The Jasper Trout Adventures, Book 1, Zombies Ate My Homework, should be available here shortly. And the reason we decided to do it ourselves was so that we could get the books out when we wanted to, the way we wanted to, and also control the content and the way they're presented. So we are going to be doing that, and I hope that you all will take a look when I have more information as to exactly when it's going to be available. And if you want a little bit more information about the book and the series in general, you can head over to Jasper Trout, T-R-O-U-T, adventures.com, and that'll give you all the info that you need. So look for that, and without further ado, let's get into the meat of the episode here. So we finished up, you know, the 2011 best of films. Those are all over at the website, and there's a show on that. And we handed out the conduits to some of the better and worst moments of the year in genre film as well. And of course, there's always, you know, a handful of things that are coming on the horizon, you know, and release dates are sketchy, and you have, you know, production dates and release dates for years that don't necessarily hold true. You know, a film like Cabin in the Woods that is supposed to be getting its release in April of this year. You know, films like Trick or Treat that sat on the shelf forever before they came out. And other movies like the Poughkeepsie Tapes that never amounted to anything as far as distribution. So you never do know, but the list that I came up with here feel like I covered all my bases. I'm thinking that I got them all. Of course, I'm sure there will be news and different info that'll pop up from time to time, where I will add to my list. But as of right now, and in no particular order, excuse me, I'm gonna go ahead and run down them for you. The first one I want to talk about, and I'm actually going to talk about kind of three as a group. The anthology film is making a comeback. Of course, I just mentioned Trick or Treat, and one that I had the pleasure to view and talked about on the show as well was Little Deaths. But one that I'm really excited for is going to be known as the Profane Exhibit. And this is seems and sounds like it's going to be in the vein of Little Deaths, where it's going to kind of blend really extreme subject matter with you know, with a graphic interpretation of it. So there's a good bit of information out there on IMDb about it if you so choose to seek it out. But I wanted to read you a rather lengthy synopsis of the film, and I won't be doing this for the others, but this will just give you an idea of the kind of depravity that that I'm looking forward to in 2012. Deep within the underbelly of Paris, there's a club which is the home of a secret wicked society. At first, it resembles an ordinary fetish or goth nightclub, but within the cavernous building are many hidden rooms, one of which is known as the Room of Souls, a private gathering place of the world's richest and most evil people. Their host is the elegant yet frightening Madame Sabatier. For their amusement, each member takes a turn and spins a true tale of depravity. And then it goes on to describe a few of the segments here. A good wife learns that her husband goes out at night to abduct and murder young women. A botched suicide attempt leads to a drug-induced dream. A girl is believed to be possessed by a demon, and her overly religious parents enlist the help of a corrupt reverend who has his own sinister plans. We're invited inside the deranged mind of a respected surgeon as he takes us on a guided tour of life, death, and everything in between. A young street prostitute crosses paths with a charismatic flesh trader and is forced to take an unspeakable journey of sex, violence, and murder. A nun is abducted off the streets of Rome and held captive for over a year, turning her into a feral, murderous creature to be unleashed on society. A chance encounter on a fateful bus ride for an unsuspecting girl who dreams of riches and fame is her undoing. A man picks up a woman in a nightclub and soon finds himself at the mercy of a cult of women who believe consumption of their sacrifice will bring them to their highest form of female dominance. It's an unflinching look into darkest Africa, where human life is traded for fortune and the most unspeakable atrocities are committed. So, if that gives you any idea, like I said, seems to be kind of in the vein of Little Deaths. This one, though, has a ton of directors. I'm not exactly sure if those are all the stories that are going to be involved, but you constantly are hearing information coming out regarding to different filmmakers that are going to be involved. People like Marion Dora, who wrote and directed the film Cannibal, Andre Iskanoff, who is famous for films like Nails and Philosophy of a Knife, Ryan Nicholson, Gutterballs, Hanger fame. I've also heard, I believe, Lucifer Valentine's name tossed around from the Vomit Gore trilogy. A lot of these films I can't recommend or say that I enjoyed, but the filmmakers are definitely of the extreme nature. And along with that is the ABCs of Death. And that's another anthology. As I said, I'm going to have one more after this. And this was kind of cool because they had the contest to go along with it. There's 26 directors, one for each letter of the alphabet, and they had the whole contest for the letter T. People were doing short films that centered around the letter T in some way, and they have a website that you can check those entries out on. But that will be the final director added. But you have people like Angela Bettis directing a segment, Jason Eisner from Treevenge, and Hobo with a Shotgun fame. Gosh, I don't know, Bruno Forzani, Simon Rumley, Red, White, and Blue, and who also did a segment in The Little Deaths. The guy from a Serbian film, Ty West, Adam Wingard, who I'm going to talk about in a minute as well. Adam Wingard is the director of films like A Horrible Way to Die, Pop Skull, and one that's going to be on my list here coming up. So there's a bunch of really cool genre filmmakers involved in that. And like I said, each director was assigned a letter from the alphabet, so their story will in some way involve that letter. So kind of a cool concept. And then the last one is a film called VHS, and that's making its festival run right now. And that's kind of sort of found footage anthology type of film. And incidentally, Kelvin Reeder, the writer and director of the Oregonian, is in that one. He's actually acting in it. But it's described as kind of a point of view found footage horror film, where a group of misfits are hired by a third party to burglarize a house, and they come upon a rare tape, and they're watching these different pieced together moments of this tape, the footage that keeps getting kind of stranger and weirder as it goes. So those are some anthology films that I'm really, really looking forward to that are going to be a bit more extreme and pretty exciting. So another film that has been on my list for a while and kind of I just get more and more excited about as time goes by is Prometheus, of course, the prequel to the Alien franchise that Ridley Scott has coming. And you know, there's trailer footage out there now, and all kinds of information, possible leaks, you know, the standard stuff when you have a film of this nature. But it stars Noomi Rapace from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and the other two films in that series, and Charlize Theron, and let's see, Guy Pearce. Trying to think who else is in that. I believe Michael Fassbender's in it too. But I kind of have gone over the possible plot threads that are said to be going on with that. But it sounds incredible. A lot of background into what the alien race involved in the original films really are, where they came from, and how things kind of transpired to the point where we picked up with Ripley. So that's the probably one of the bigger budgeted, more bandied about and hyped up films that I find myself really excited about. And then when we were talking about Adam Wingard, he has a film coming out titled You're Next. And of course, as I said, Adam Wingard, Pop Skull, and also directed the fantastic A Horrible Way to Die. And some of the people like Amy Simetz and Joe Swanberg and AJ Bowen, those guys are found in this film as well. It's kind of a horror thriller type of film that is supposed to have some darkly comedic threads running through it. So just on the strength of Pop Skull and A Horrible Way to Die, I'm really excited for that one. I think Wingard is one of these directors that's really gonna keep expanding and building upon upon his catalog in a real positive way. And one that I'm cautiously optimistic and excited about would be Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. And Benjamin Walker will be playing Abraham Lincoln, and Rufus Sewell is also in it, who I think is a pretty fantastic actor from things like Dark City and whatnot. The director is the guy who is known for the Night Watch, Day Watch films. He did Wanted with Angelina Jolie, so he's kind of known for his visual flair and about nothing else. So we shall see, but just the whole concept of you know, President Lincoln's mother being killed by vampires when he was younger, and that fuels his desire and his passions to destroy the vampires and their slave owning helpers. So it kind of, you know, historically ties into the abolition of slavery, and you know, I quite like historical stuff. I have not read things like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, but I bought Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, the book, for my wife a while back, and she read it and really enjoyed it. And no, I have not read it, but I'm anxiously awaiting that to see what they do with it. I'm hoping that the vampire angle and the types of creatures that they choose to bring to life are, you know, the vicious type. And I believe in the book that they are. So I'm hoping for a 30 Days of Night vampire as opposed to, I won't even say Twilight because I know they wouldn't go that far off the deep end. But, like a Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise type of vampire, I would not be too excited for. And that's a good segue, actually. I might as well go there since I mentioned Brad Pitt. The next film, also a book adaptation, is starring Brad Pitt, is World War Z. And I did read this book and absolutely adored it, from Max Brooks. Just a fantastic story and chronicling of the zombie outbreak and the zombie apocalypse. And I, for the most part, I'm pretty done with the zombie subgenre in film. I have enjoyed The Walking Dead on AMC, but I just feel that this story that Max Brooks wrote is so ripe and rich with mythology and a detailing that it may translate really well. And I'm a big Brad Pitt fan. I can't say I've loved all his stuff, but his quirkier roles, whether it be an Inglourious Bastard or I don't know, Fight Club, of course, and Snatch, Seven. I enjoyed him in Sleepers and 12 Monkeys, so I'm really hopeful for this one. The plot summary states that it's about a UN representative that's writing a report on the Great Zombie War, with interviews with survivors and whatnot. So, that's essentially the theme of the book. We'll see if, what kind of tweaks they make. But again, I'm really, really quite hopeful that it'll succeed. And I want to really sit down and look at and enjoy kind of what they bring to the table in terms of maybe a more sophisticated zombie story that, much like the Walking Dead, has a real focus on the humans and their kind of struggle and strife, and the zombie apocalypse being the backdrop for it. The next film that I know I'm going to regret being excited about is The Wicker Tree. And There's a couple of reasons I feel like this is going to suck balls. It has a 2010 release date, and I know there's some people who have had copies and whatnot. I haven't gotten to see it yet, so that's why it falls in the 2012 pile. This is written and directed by Robin Hardy. Now, for those of you that don't know, Robin Hardy, excuse me, is the original director of the original Wicker Man from 1973. This guy is 83 years old. Well, 82 going on 83. I don't want to age him too quickly. And he has 4 director credits. He hasn't directed anything since 1989, and that was one episode of a TV series called E Street. So, in his long life, he has essentially done much of nothing in the film world. The Wicker Man, very highly revered by many, but he comes back at the ripe old age of, as I said, 82, to give us The Wicker Tree, which is essentially a reimagining of his 1973 film, The Wicker Man. So it's young Christians, Beth and Steve, a gospel singer, and her cowboy friend leave Texas to preach door to door in Scotland. After initial abuse, they are welcomed with joy and elation to Tresach, the border fiefdom of Sir Lachlan Morrison. They assume their hosts simply want to hear more about Jesus, how innocent and wrong they are. So there's potential. The storyline sounds cool. I've seen some clips here and there, and it looks pretty neat. So we shall find out as soon as I get a chance to check that out. I will let everybody know what I thought of it. And then on to a remake. The 2011 film, which has a release date of March 9th, 2012, starring one of my favorite new actresses. I shouldn't say that. One of my favorite new actors, Elizabeth Olsen from Mary Martha. You know, that whole thing. As I said, it's a remake of The Silent House. Well, first of all, I didn't mean to dismiss Martha Marcy, Mae Marlene. Excellent film, and it's just kind of a tongue twister. So, but a remake of The Silent House from 2010, which I saw and quite enjoyed. The film, as does the sequel, takes place in real time, and that's of course one of the big draws of it is. There's no cuts, no cutting away, no fades, nothing like that. It's all one prolonged camera take. And you essentially have, in this new one, you have a woman and her father that are trapped inside her family's lakeside retreat, and the young woman descends into madness. And as I said, I liked the original. The reason I'm so excited about the remake is, first of all, as I said, Elizabeth Olsen. I think she's phenomenal and has an incredible range as a performer. Some of the clips I've seen from the movie seem really emotional, and she's playing it really intensely and believably. And the other thing is with the original, it just felt it felt not just like it was missing something, but really, like they didn't go far enough. There wasn't an impending sense of doom that was overwhelming to me. And I'm hoping from what I've seen of this new one that they're going to take that doom and that stress and that isolation and downward spiral farther and far enough for me. So that's Silent House. The next film is an Eduardo Sanchez written and directed Diddy. of the Blair Witch Project fame and the film Altered and Seventh Moon, all of which I've enjoyed. Lovely Molly is a horror film centered around a troubled young woman and the evil power that exists inside her. Kind of interesting casting here. One of my other favorite movies that's really weird and quirky, if you haven't checked it out, is 2003's Dead End. And the lead actress in that, Alexandra Holden, she's a real odd performer to figure out because in the more dramatic stuff that she's been in, she's fantastic. But she does a lot of garbage too. But she plays Hannah in the film, and I like Sanchez. I like what he does visually and thematically. He really captures dread very, very effectively. And I've seen bits and pieces of footage of Lovely Molly, and it looks like it's going to be pretty terrifying. So for me, I'll certainly be keeping my eye on that for sure. And of course, this is another one that could turn into a quiet disaster. And I'd like to read the synopsis to illustrate why I think it could be an unmitigated disaster. Heidi, a blonde rock chick, DJs at a local radio station, and together with two Hermans, form part of the Big H radio team. A mysterious wooden box containing a vinyl record arrives for Heidi, a gift of the Lords. She assumes it's a rock band on a mission to spread their word. As Heidi and Whitey play the Lords record, it starts to play backwards, and Heidi experiences a flashback to past trauma. Later, Whitey plays the Lords record, dubbing them the Lords of Salem, and to his surprise, the record plays normally and is a massive hit with his listeners. The arrival of another wooden box from the Lords presents the Big H team with free tickets, posters, and records to host a gig in Salem. Soon, Heidi and her cohorts are far from the rock spectacle they're expecting. The original Lords of Salem are returning, and they're out for blood. Yep, Rob Zombie's Lords of Salem. So, I am a big Rob Zombie fan visually. I think Halloween 2 was great to look at and follow along with. It was kind of abysmal story-wise, as was the first Halloween. I'm a big fan of House of a Thousand Corpses. I'm okay with Devil's Rejects. We'll see how this turns out. I'm pretty positive that it's going to look fantastic and look and feel dirty and gritty, but that synopsis scares the hell out of me. And as is pretty common with Rob Zombie films, he finds some genre vets and people who have cult followings and are well revered to come in and inhabit his films. Of course, his wife Sherry Moon will be there, but rumored to also be in the film is Clint Howard, Lisa Marie, Maria Conchita Alonso, Sid Haig, Udo Kier, D. Wallace, Billy Drago, Michael Berryman. Gosh, I mean, the list, you even have Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch in there, Ken Foree. So, Camille Keaton. There's just, I mean, I could go on and on and on. So, you got a ton of genre vets coming out of the woodwork and inhabiting Lords of Salem. And we shall see. Like I said, the synopsis sounds like absolute dog shit. So I don't know how to feel, where to go, what to think, except that it always gets me. I always find myself getting excited and more than anything, a whole lot of curious about what the guy's gonna do next. So, thank God we didn't get the remake of The Blob from him, and we're getting Lords of Salem. So we shall see. The next film is by the director of Drive, Nicholas Winding Refn, who you could go through his entire catalog and just be mesmerized, whether it's the Pusher films or Bronson, Valhalla Rising, Drive, like I said. But what he has on the slate for 2012 is this film, crime drama thriller called Only God Forgives. And the synopsis is brief. It says a Bangkok police lieutenant and a gangster settle their differences in a Thai boxing match. And if you're looking at me right now saying, why the fuck would this be anywhere on your list? I say a couple things. First of all, Refn, plain and simple. Another connection there, one of my favorite actors of recent memory, Tom Hardy, who was fantastic in in Refn's film Bronson. That was an absolute powerhouse performance. Was also in this film Warrior, which was a fighting film that was fantastic. And if you saw my list online, my favorite documentary of the year was a film called Knuckle. And that kind of connects all the dots in a weird way for me. I'm a sucker for good fighting films. Ryan Gosling is going to be in this, Kristin Scott Thomas, and of course, written, most importantly, and directed by Refn. Until he does wrong, he can do no wrong, plain and simple. So that's on my list, and I cannot wait to see how brutal and testosterone driven this film is. And Drive was one of those films too that when I left the theater, I felt like much more of a man than I truly am. So it's always good to get that that injection of testosterone once in a while. So, and then just a couple more to wrap up. The directors of Dead Hooker in a Trunk have a film coming out that hopefully will be out in 2012. It might not hit till 2013, but I'm putting it on this list as something I'm looking forward to, starring Catherine Isabel. It's American Mary, and it follows a medical student, Mary Mason, as she becomes increasingly broke and disenchanted with the surgical world. The allure of easy money sends Mary into the world of underground surgeries, which ends up leaving more marks on her than her so-called freakish clientele. So, the Saska sisters, Jen and Sylvia, are, kind of the apple and darlings of the horror indie world right now. And Dead Hooker in a Trunk was a lot of fun, and I think that they're everything that I've heard and seen, they're going darker, much darker and more twisted with this one. So it's going to be, I think, a fun ride. I think I can be reasonably comfortable that that this movie is going to be pretty fucked up and pretty fun all the same. And speaking of fucked up and fun, the last film I had on my list is John Dies at the End. And there's a bunch of reasons to be really excited about this. It's making its festival round right now and getting a lot of love, based on the novel by David Wong, John Dies at the End, which I have read and is fantastically silly, gruesome, and odd. And directed by Don Coscarelli, the of course the man who brought you the Phantasm films and Bubba Ho-Tep and an episode of Masters of Horror. John Dies at the End is shaping up to look pretty good. It has Paul Giamatti in it, Clancy Brown, who lots of you genre fans will know, and of course Doug Jones, the human skeleton. A bunch of other guys, and it looks like Angus Scrim's going to be found somewhere in there, the tall man from the Phantasm films, and he's pretty awesome. So, the synopsis goes: it's a drug that promises an out-of-body experience with each hit, On the street, they call it soy sauce, and users drift across time and dimensions. But some who come back are no longer human. Suddenly, a silent, otherworldly invasion is underway, and mankind needs a hero. What it gets instead is John and David, a pair of college dropouts who can barely hold down jobs. Can these two stop the oncoming horror in time to save humanity? No. No, they can't. So John dies at the end. I think it's going to be, the exception to how I feel about most horror comedies, which I don't really enjoy, but the book was really dark, and it was really, really kind of witty and fun. So I'm looking forward to that. And please, if you guys think of anything that you're looking forward to that I missed, send me an email at theconduitspeaks@gmail.com, because I'm always looking to add to the list. But I think, for me anyway, that 2012 looks pretty promising, and I really enjoyed 2011. As far as I'm concerned, you're always going to run into Drac. You're always going to run into films that are difficult to watch or, unwatchable. Whether you're getting screeners or you're going to the theater or you're staying at home and renting DVDs, doing the VOD thing. If you're a real true horror fan or a genre film fan, I don't know, sometimes it can be 2-to-1 garbage to good. But for me, the number of good films that I was able to see in 2011, the number of great films that I was able to see in 2011, the number of fantastic films I was able to see in 2011, far outweighs all the, the tons of horrible films that I saw. So, not with everything, but with films, I'm kind of a glasses half full kind of guy. And, I've firmly embraced the truth that you have to weed through a lot of garbage to get to the gems. So, I loved 2011, and, hopefully 2012 will come close to that. So I think, next episode, and we're trying to get together here, my friend Tom, who you hear me reference a lot in the show, we're going to be taking a look at modern, extreme and subversive films, genre films, horror films, dark dramas, things like that. And by modern, we're going to try and stay like 2000 and newer, because there's a few movies that came by this past year and recently that kind of tweaked my mind, and there wasn't anybody else I really thought could go into it as intensely as Tom. So I had the immense pleasure of him shooting me over a DVD for the film, the Italian splatter film, Adam Chaplin. You can see a review for that on the website, and also a link where to purchase it if you want. But that kind of got the ball rolling. So look for that next episode or the one after, depending on how our schedules shake out. But hopefully sooner than later on that. And keep hopping over to the website. Try and get content up there as frequently as possible. And again, if you could, please keep your eyes and your ears peeled for news about the Jasper Trout Adventures. That would be greatly appreciated. We're very excited about getting something fun and, not too dangerous into your kids' hands, or your nieces or nephews or whatever. Just a horror type story that has a few chills but more thrills, and can slowly ease our kids into the genre that we so love. So until next time, I think that's going to be about it. I just wanted to thank everybody for listening and wish everybody a happy and safe week or so coming up. And hopefully we'll get you that extreme and subversive modern genre film episode coming soon. So again, theconduitspeaks.com is the place to go online. theconduitspeaks@gmail.com is where you can email me maybe some of your films that you're looking for in 2012, so I can make my list a little bigger, a little fatter. Go from there. So take good care.